Token Exchange with Spring Cloud Gateway. A hands-on walkthrough of RFC 8693 Token Exchange using Spring Cloud Gateway, Keycloak, and three front-end frameworks. Architecture, implementation, observability, and the things the docs don't tell you. Why Token Exchange? Most OAuth 2 tutorials end at the login screen. The user authenticates, gets an access token, and every service behind the gateway trusts that same token. Same claims, same audience, same scopes. If one downstream service gets compromised, the attacker holds a token that works everywhere. And the authorization server has no record of which service requested access on behalf of which user. RFC 8693 fixes this. A service receives the user's token, presents it to the authorization server, and gets back a new token scope to the specific downstream service it needs to call. The user identity is preserved, but the new token can have a different audience, different scopes, different lifetime. The authorization server decides whether the exchange is allowed. If you care about least privilege in a microservices architecture, this is how identity delegation should work. The CNCF's guide on Zero Trust with Keycloak covers the reasoning at scale. This article walks through a complete implementation. Spring Cloud Gateway exchanging tokens via Keycloak's RFC 8693 endpoint, forwarding scoped JWTs to downstream Spring Boot services, with three front-end frameworks visualizing the exchange in real time. The companion repository is SpringO Auth 2 Token Exchange RFC 8693 on GitHub, and everything described here runs with a single command. The RFC in 60 seconds. RFC 8693 adds a new OAuth 2 grant type, EARN, ITF, PARAMS, OAuth, Grant Type Token Exchange. A client sends a subject token the token to exchange along with parameters like audience, scope, and requested token type to the authorization server's token endpoint. The server validates the subject token, applies its policy, and returns a new token scope to the requested audience, with the user's identity preserved. The difference from a client credentials grant is that the user's identity flows through. The downstream service knows who the user is and what roles they have, but the token itself is scoped to that specific service. The authorization server decides whether the exchange is allowed. I'd recommend Authlete's explainer as a companion to the spec, unless reading RFCs over coffee is your idea of a good morning. Architecture. The demo models a conference platform. A Spring Cloud Gateway sits between front-end clients and two back-end microservices. The front-end authenticates with Keycloak using a public OIDC client with PKCE. The gateway receives the user's access token, validates it via introspection, exchanges it for a service-specific JWT through Keycloak's RFC 8693 endpoint, and forwards that JWT to the downstream service. Two test users demonstrate role-based access. Alice has the speaker role and can access the talk service, while Bob has the reviewer role and can access the review service. Each front-end includes a diff table comparing the token the browser sent with the token the downstream service received, claim by claim. You can actually see the exchange happen. The request flow. Here's what a single API call looks like from the front-end to a downstream service. Two separate calls to Keycloak happen at the gateway, and they behave very differently. Both route through Trific HTTP. /localhost/auth/. Proxied to the Keycloak container, which adds a hop but keeps all traffic flowing through a single entry point to match a production reverse proxy setup. The distinction matters for performance and is easy to overlook. Token introspection validates the incoming access token. The gateway uses opaque token, So Spring Security calls Keycloak /token/introspect endpoint on every request rather than decoding the JWT locally. Each introspection request travels Gateway and RAR, Trific and RAR, Keycloak and back. Why not just validate the JWT locally? Introspection lets the authorization server enforce revocation. A locally validated JWT is trusted until it expires, even if the session has been terminated. The trade-off is latency. Spring Security does not cache introspection results, so every request round-trips to the authorization server. In production with high throughput, you'd cache introspection results with a short TTL or switch to local JWT validation if immediate revocation isn't a requirement. Token Exchange swaps the access token for a service-specific JWT via RFC 8693. This call is cached. Spring Security's in-memory reactive OAuth2 authorized client service stores the exchange JWT in-memory, keyed by client registration ID plus principal name. The exchange only fires when the first request for a given user arrives after Gateway startup, the cached token expires, the Gateway JVM restarts. One thing that surprised me, logging out and back in may not trigger a new exchange if the cache entry is still valid. The cache lives in JVM memory, not tied to the browser session. Restart the Gateway to clear it if you want to see the Keycloak exchange hop in every trace. In production, this caching is correct behavior. Keycloak setup. Keycloak 26 Plus simplified token exchange compared to earlier versions, where you had to configure fine-grained authorization policies through the admin console. Now, it's a single client attribute. The official Keycloak docs cover both the legacy V1 and the current V2 mechanism. Clients. The architecture requires two Keycloak clients. Table omitted. The public client is what the front end uses. Standard OIDC authorization code flow with PKCE S256, no client secret. Lightweight access tokens are enabled, which reduces token size, but has implications for what claims are available. More on that below. One thing worth calling out, Keycloak does not support truly opaque tokens. Lightweight access tokens are still JWTs, just with personal information like preferred username, email, and given name stripped from the payload. Anyone with the token can decode the header and see it's a JWT. The demo uses lightweight tokens as the closest Keycloak gets to opaque, combined with Spring Security's opaque token configuration that forces the Gateway to validate via introspection rather than decoding locally. From the Gateway's perspective, the token is an opaque string. It never looks inside. For truly opaque tokens, random strings with no decodable payload, an identity provider like Zitadel is needed. That's planned as a follow-up. The Gateway client is the Gateway's server-side client, confidential with a client secret, the setting that enables token exchange. Code block omitted. One attribute. That's what activates RFC 8693 on the Gateway client. No admin console clicking, no fine-grained authorization policies. The audience mapper. The public client needs an audience mapper that includes the Gateway client's client ID in the AUD claim of issued tokens. Without this, Keycloak rejects the exchange because the subject token wasn't intended for the requesting client. Code block omitted. The lightweight claim. True setting is easy to miss. When lightweight access tokens are enabled, Keycloak strips most claims by default. If the audience mapper doesn't explicitly opt into lightweight tokens, the AUD claim doesn't make it into the token, and the exchange fails with a generic error that tells you nothing useful. Per-service audience scoping via client scopes. Keycloak 26 Standard Token Exchange. Standard Token Exchange enabled doesn't support the RFC 8693 audience post parameter. The idiomatic Keycloak approach is scope-based audience control through client scopes. The setup script creates one client scope per downstream service, API talk service, and API review service. Each scope contains an audience mapper that sets the AUD claim to the respective service name. Code block omitted. These scopes are registered as optional scopes on the gateway client. When the gateway requests scope, open-eyed API talk service during token exchange, Keycloak applies the API talk service scope, and the audience mapper sets AUD, talk service on the exchange JWT. The review service route requests API review service instead, producing a JWT with AUD, review service. No standalone service clients exist in Keycloak. Audience scoping is handled entirely through scopes. Roles. Two realm roles, speaker and reviewer. Alice is assigned speaker, Bob is assigned reviewer. After token exchange, these roles appear in the JWT's Realm Access Roles claim, where the downstream services extract them. Automated setup. The Keycloak configuration is fully automated with a TypeScript setup script using at Keycloak/KeycloakAdmin client. The script is idempotent. It creates resources if they are missing, updates them to match the configuration, and handles 409 conflict as already exists. No manual clicking in the admin console. The entire realm, both clients, all client scopes, roles, users, and mappers are created from code. The gateway, resource server and OAuth 2 client. The Spring Cloud gateway is both an OAuth 2 resource server validating incoming tokens from frontends, and an OAuth 2 client performing the token exchange with Keycloak. You need both for transparent token exchange to work. Security filter chain. The security configuration registers both roles in a single filter chain. Code block omitted. OAuth 2 resource server with opaque token means the gateway validates incoming tokens by calling Keycloak's introspection endpoint. It doesn't decode the token locally. OAuth 2 client enables the gateway to act as a client for outbound OAuth 2 flows, including token exchange. Client registration. The token exchange grant type is configured in the gateway's application IML. Code block omitted. Each route gets its own token relay filter pointing to a dedicated client registration. Both registrations authenticate as the same gateway client but request different scopes, API talk service vs. API review service. Keycloak uses these scopes to apply the matching audience mapper, setting the AUD claim on the exchange JWT to the target service name. The Opaquetoken section configures introspection. The authorization grant type is the RFC 8693 grant type URN, which tells Spring Security to use Token Exchange Reactive OAuth 2 authorized client provider for these registrations. When a request hits /talk service /*, the token relay equals talk service filter looks up the talk service registration, sees token exchange as the grant type, and requests an exchange with scope, open-eyed API talk service. Keycloak returns a JWT with AUD, talk service. The review service route does the same with API review service. Each downstream service gets a JWT scope to its specific audience. The subject token resolver. The token exchange reactive OAuth 2 authorized client provider needs to know which token to exchange. Code block omitted. When a request arrives, Spring Security introspects the access token with Keycloak and wraps the result in a bearer token authentication. The resolver extracts the original token from that authentication object and passes it as the subject token parameter in the RFC 8693 exchange request. Audience scoping is handled entirely on the Keycloak side through client scopes, so no custom parameters converter is needed on the Spring Security side. The Spring Security 6.3 token exchange blog post walks through the same pattern. Required dependencies. The gateway needs a specific set of dependencies for the dual resource server / OAuth2 client role. Code block omitted. Miss any one of these and you get either a startup failure or silent misconfiguration. Spring Boot Starter OAuth2 client is what makes the token relay filter available. Without it, the filter never registers and routes forward requests with no token exchange. Downstream services, JWT validation and role extraction. The talk service and review service are plain Spring Boot MVC applications configured as JWT resource servers. They know nothing about token exchange. They receive a JWT, validate it against Keycloak's JWKS endpoint, extract roles, and enforce access control. Code block omitted. The audience's property tells Spring Security to reject any JWT whose AUD claim doesn't include talk service. A token exchanged for review service won't pass validation here. Each downstream service enforces its own audience, closing the loop on per-service scoping. The role extraction problem. Keycloak places realm roles in a nested claim, realm access roles. Spring Security's default JWT authentication converter doesn't read from this path. Without a custom converter, no roles are extracted, and every at pre-authorize has role. Check fails silently, even though the JWT contains the correct roles. The fix is a custom converter that reads from both the standard authorities and the Keycloak-specific realm access claim. Code block omitted. Keycloak's speaker becomes Spring Security's role speaker, which at pre-authorize has role speaker picks up. Both downstream services use the same converter. The converter is wired into the security configuration. Code block omitted. Observability, tracing the full exchange. The project uses the OpenTelemetry Java agent for zero code instrumentation. Each Spring Boot service gets the agent attached via JVM options. Code block omitted. No Spring Boot OTel starter, no code changes, no logback XML. The agent instruments at the NETI/ReactorNETI level via bytecode manipulation. Every HTTP client in the JVM gets trace propagation automatically. Keycloak has built-in tracing KC tracing enabled equals true. Trific exports traces natively. The OTel collector receives everything and forwards to Grafana LGTM Tempo for traces, Loki for logs, Mimir for metrics. A full request trace shows the complete chain. Frontend and RAR, Trific and RAR, Gateway and RAR, Trific and RAR, Keycloak introspection plus exchange and RAR, Gateway and RAR, downstream service. Because the gateway reaches Keycloak through Trific, Trific spans appear twice in every trace, once for the inbound request and once for the gateway's call to Keycloak. The trace propagation gap. This is the kind of thing you only find by staring at traces and noticing what's missing. When hitting a service mirror endpoint, Grafana Tempo showed the full trace from the gateway through to the downstream service, but the Keycloak token exchange call was invisible. The authorized exchange span was present 3.54 ms, but Keycloak never appeared as a child span. Two separate, disconnected traces instead of one connected chain. The root cause, Spring Security's token exchange reactive OAuth2 authorized client provider creates its own web client internally. That web client has no OTel instrumentation, so it never sends the traceparent header. Keycloak receives the request, starts its own orphan trace, and the two never connect. With the OTel Java agent, this isn't a problem. The agent instruments HTTP calls at the NETI slash reactor NETI level, below Spring Security's abstraction. Every web client instance gets trace propagation regardless of who created it or whether it was configured with an observation registry. What if you use Spring Boot Starter OpenTelemetry instead? Spring Boot 4 ships its own OpenTelemetry starter, Spring Boot Starter OpenTelemetry, as an alternative to the Java agent. Not to be confused with the OpenTelemetry Spring Boot Starter maintained by the OTel community. If you go with the Spring Boot Starter over the agent, you need to provide an instrumented web client to the token exchange provider yourself. Code block omitted. There's a subtlety here that cost me some investigation. You might think to inject Web Client Builder through Spring's auto configuration, which would give you an already instrumented builder. It doesn't work. Spring Security resolves reactive OAuth2 authorized client provider beans eagerly during context initialization, before Web Client auto configuration runs. The application crashes during startup because the builder bean hasn't been created yet. Object provider doesn't help either because the crash happens in Spring Security's constructor, not in your bean method. You have to build the web client manually with the observation registry. The trade-off is straightforward. The Java agent instruments everything invisibly. The starter makes you find and instrument every HTTP client yourself. Front-end integration. All three front-ends Angular view. React use Keycloak.js with PKCE and an identical auth configuration. Code block omitted. Check SSO means, if the user already has a Keycloak session, log them in silently via an IfRam. No login prompt appears unless the user explicitly navigates to the login page. All three frontends refresh the token every 30 seconds. Code block omitted. Update token 30 only calls Keycloak if the token expires within 30 seconds. Most of the time, it's a no-op. Lightweight token workaround. When Keycloak issues lightweight access tokens, the JWT payload doesn't include preferred username, given name, family name, or email. The frontends detect this and fall back to the user info endpoint. Code block omitted. Smaller payloads at the cost of an extra user info call when you need profile data. Framework differences. The three frontends implement the same dashboard with framework idiomatic patterns. React uses context API for auth state with a wrapper and manual fetch. Vue uses composition API refs with a router before each guard and manual fetch. Angular takes a more structured approach with signals, a can activate FN guard, and an HTTP interceptor that automatically injects the bearer token. Angular's auth interceptor is the most interesting of the three, because it removes the need for manual header injection. Code block omitted. The auth implementations are in React's auth context, Vue's use auth composable, and Angular's auth service. Visualizing the exchange. Each frontend's dashboard calls mirror endpoints on both the gateway and the downstream services. These endpoints echo back the HTTP headers the service receives. The front-end decodes the token it sent, decodes the token the downstream service received, and renders a diff table showing which JWT claims changed. The AUD claim now shows the specific service talk service or review service instead of the generic gateway client. Timestamps change, and the user's roles carry through. The lightweight token sent by the front-end is missing personal claims preferred username, email realm access. They show as in the sent column. After exchange, Keycloak issues a full JWT with all claims populated. The mirror endpoints that enable this live in the gateway's debug controller and the talk service's debug controller. These endpoints exist purely for the demo. They echo back HTTP headers, including the authorization header. Do not ship anything like this outside a development environment. Infrastructure. The entire infrastructure runs locally via Docker Compose and MSI for orchestration. 5 containers provide the backbone. Trific on port 80 as the reverse proxy routing / auth to Keycloak. Keycloak itself for OAuth 2 / OIDC. And token exchange backed by PostgreSQL. The OTel collector receiving telemetry via gRPC and HTTP. And Grafana LGTM at Grafana localhost bundling Tempo, Loki, and Mimir. The full Docker Compose configuration is in support / Docker Compose IML. Exact image versions are pinned in the end file. A single command starts everything. Code block omitted. 5 phases. Install front-end dependencies, build Maven projects, and download the OTel agent, start Docker infrastructure, set up the Keycloak realm, then start all services and front-ends. Service logs go to log / control plus C stops everything. The task definitions are in MSI TOML. Integration testing the exchange. The whole point of token exchange is that each downstream service gets a JWT scope to it and only it. If that breaks silently, you won't know until someone with the wrong role gets through. So the companion repo includes an integration test that runs against the live stack. The test uses Node 24 native type script support and the built-in node, test runner. No test framework, no transpiler, no extra dependencies. How it works. The test logs in as both demo users Alice and Bob by temporarily enabling direct access grants on the gateway client via the Keycloak admin API, grabbing tokens, and immediately disabling the grant again. Then it calls the mirror and points through the gateway / talk service / debug / mirror / review service / debug / mirror. The gateway performs the RFC 8693 exchange as usual, and the mirror endpoint echoes back the HTTP headers it received, including the authorization header with the exchanged JWT. The test decodes that JWT and asserts 2 things. The AUD claim matches the target service, and Realm Access Roles contains the expected role. What it covers. 8 test cases cover the important combinations. Alice's exchange JWT for the talk service has AUD equals talk service, and the speaker role Alice can access talk services permission check 204, but gets rejected by review service 403 Bob's exchange JWT for the review service has AUD equals review service. And the reviewer role Bob can access review services permission check 204, but gets rejected by talk service 403. The JWTs issued for talk service and review service are different tokens with different audiences and unauthenticated request, gets a 401. That last pair matters more than it looks. If the gateway accidentally cached one exchange token and reused it for a different service, the audience isolation test would catch it. Running the tests. Code block omitted. Output looks like this. Code block omitted. Production considerations. This demo is designed to make token exchange visible, not to run in production as is. A few things you'd change, roughly in order of importance. Introspection on every request adds latency and load on Keycloak. Cache results with a short TTL, or switch to local JWT validation at the gateway level if you don't need immediate revocation. Client secrets are hard-coded in YAML for demo clarity. Use environment variables or a secrets manager. Cores is set to asterisk and SSL is disabled on the Keycloak realm. Strictly for local development convenience. The exchange tokens carry all realm roles regardless of which service is the target audience. Audience scoping restricts which service accepts the token, but every JWT still contains the full set of roles. True Least Privilege would also scope down the roles per audience, which Keycloak can do through client scope mappings, but the demo doesn't. The article doesn't cover what lifetime the exchange token gets. Keycloak controls it independently from the original, so verify it matches your security model rather than assuming it inherits the original token's expiry. Token refresh is client-side via Keycloak.js. The gateway doesn't deal with refresh tokens. If the exchange token expires and the cache entry goes stale, the next request triggers a new exchange, but there's no explicit refresh flow at the gateway level. What comes next? This article covers token exchange with Keycloak. The companion repo is designed to support additional identity providers. Zettl issues opaque access tokens by default and supports RFC 8693 natively, including the ability to exchange an opaque token for a JWT. That would enable a flow where the frontend receives an opaque token no claims leak to the browser, and the gateway exchanges it for a JWT that downstream services validate locally without calling back to the authorization server. That covers OAuth2 at the HTTP edge. The same Keycloak and the same Spring security setup can secure the broker too. I wrote that up in OAuth2 secured Rabbit MQ over MQP 0.9.1, a service's messaging authorized by the same scopes as its HTTP, with a follow-up over MQP 1.0 on Rabbit MQ4's native client. All of it is collected in the Spring Boot and OAuth2 guide. When the client is an autonomous AI agent instead of a browser or a downstream service, the same instinct holds. Shape the token deliberately, carry the human identity onto it, and never trust the scopes the client asks for. I wrote that up in the DCR proxy for a Spring AI MCP server, where a small Spring authorization server adds the dynamic client registration an enterprise IDP refuses to do. The full source is at lucasgriggs/springo-auth2-token-exchange-rfc-8693. If something's unclear or broken, open an issue.